study of Genesis 22, and you can follow along with us. I want to thank the men for asking me to fill in for Jerry and the confidence they have in me, and I pray that I'll be truthful to God's Word. In Genesis 22, we read about a man named Abraham. There's people in the Old Testament that we think of that are great men of faith. You think about Noah, who we studied this morning, who believed God and trusted in God and built the ark and went into the ark. I think about Gideon and Judges, who was told to fight the Midianites, and he assembled a large army. And God narrowed that army down to 300 men and told Gideon that's all he needed in order to fight the Midianites. That took faith. And I think about Joshua and Caleb when they went into the promised land to spy it out. They had faith in God, that God would deliver the Israelite children and that they could take the land. And of course, the other spies did not agree with them, and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And there's other men, David, Jephthah, that we could talk about. But I'm going to talk about Abraham tonight. And because his faith is the most remarkable of all the men that I mentioned, in my mind. He demonstrates his faith by his actions. His actions speak louder than words, we could say. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, it says that he was credited with righteousness because of his obedient faith. And it was just not a mere mental assent, but it was an active and living faith. So I'm going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Verse 2. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This command could have broke the faith of a lot of people. But Abraham was being tested. God tests us. In Psalms 11, verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous. Psalm 17, verse 3, David said, You have tested my heart. Lord willing, next week, I'm supposed to speak again. We're going to talk more about being tested. But tonight, I want to talk about Abraham's test. Tough trials take tough tactics. Abraham obeyed God. He left the land of Ur of Chaldeans and went to Haran. And there from Haran, he went to the promised land, which we call Israel today. Hebrews 11, verse 8 said that he went out not knowing where he was going. He trusted God. God said, leave the land, and he didn't know where he was headed, but he left and went to it. But this command to offer your son as a burnt offering doesn't make sense, does it? Not to me. Why? Why was he asked to do that? Was it necessary? You know, if you know the reason, you can endure it. If a surgeon tells me, Bruce, we're going to have to cut you open because your appendix is inflamed, and without it, you're going to be very sick. Well, I can understand that, and so I can endure the operation and the pain afterwards because I know the reason why I'm being operated on. But did Abraham know why he was told to offer his only son? How would I act? How would you act if you were told to offer your son or your grandson as a burnt offering? Would you obey? I would not want to stand here and say, yes, I would obey. I don't know if my faith is that strong, but he had faith in God. Abraham did. Even if it seemed impossible, he obeyed God. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He obeys promptly. The Lord says, offer your son, and the next morning he's on his way. Would not have gotten any easier if he'd waited, would it? No. So it says, early the next morning. Makes me wonder if Abraham didn't sleep very well that night. And he woke up early. I don't know. Don't know all that he did. But he did not hesitate. Notice all the action verbs in verse 3. He rose early. He saddled the donkey. He took two of his young men. He split the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place that God told him. He was on his way. Had to be a struggle. He had to be by himself. But God told him. Could he tell Sarah, his wife? I don't think so. What would Sarah think? Sarah, I'm going to offer Isaac, our promised son, the one that you had in your elderly age after 90, I'm going to take him and I'm going to offer him as a burnt offering. What do you think her reaction would have been? Why, she got rid of Ishmael and Hagar just a chapter before because Ishmael lacked or scorned Isaac. And she wasn't going to have that. And you think she's going to let Abraham offer her only son? I don't think so. I don't think he told Sarah. What if he would have told his servants? He had a lot of servants. Abraham was a rich man. Why, they think, what the kind of horror is this? That he's going to offer his son, his only son. What about the people in the land, the tribes, the Canaanites and the Amorites? What if they heard that Abraham had offered his only son as a burnt offering? Well, they thought he had lost his mind. That he could not be trusted with this boy. That he had gotten old and senile, and Isaac was in danger of being around him. But Abraham was on his own. Now, we've been on our own sometimes. I'm on my own. But it's okay to ask advice. I bounce a lot of things off you. Sermon topics, verses, what they mean. Things that I should do or shouldn't do. I bounce them off her. Ask her what her opinion is. I get encouragement from the brethren about things. But sometimes it's just God and me. Have you ever felt like that? What is the thing that we do when it's just God and you, God and me? We pray a lot. You ever prayed a lot? Prayed all night about something? About that surgery I talked about if I had to have. I don't sleep good the night before, and I pray a lot to God about it. Jesus spent a lot of time alone. It was just God and Him. When He told His disciples, His apostles, that He was going to be crucified and buried, how did they take that? How did Peter take it? What did he do? He went to Jesus, took Him aside. In Matthew 16, we won't turn over there, verses 21 through 23. And it says that he rebuked Jesus, saying, "You're not going to do this." To rebuke means to express disapproval, to scold, to find fault. So he's telling Jesus, "You cannot do this." He was keeping Jesus from his mission. He was tempting him. He was interfering with Jesus. Jesus spent time alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? In his prayer. But an angel came and comforted him. He spent time alone in his temptations. But at the end, an angel came and comforted him. When he was on trial, he was by himself. And when he was being tortured and scourged and slapped and crowned with thorns, he was by himself. Abraham was alone, but he knew what was right. He knew that the Lord would keep his promise. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham's been gone for 3 days now, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. That's Mount Moriah. The time had come. Abraham needed to make a decision. There's the place. I've got to go. Mount Moriah, just as a side note, is where Jerusalem is. And the temple is built on Mount Moriah, 2 Chronicles 3 and verse 1. The only time Mount Moriah is mentioned is in Genesis 22 and 2 Chronicles. In fact, in my studies, it was the Jewish belief, now it was the Jews, it was not in our Bibles, that the temple was built on the Mount Moriah, and that the altar of the burnt offering was on the rock that Isaac was put on. Now, that's Jewish tradition, not in the Bible. I thought that was interesting. In Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead." Abraham's faith was that strong, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Even if Isaac were to die, God would raise him up. How many resurrections from the dead are there in the Old Testament? Very few. Had Abraham seen one? It's not recorded that he had. But his faith was that God would raise up Isaac. Romans 4, verses 20 through 21. "Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Even if it seemed impossible, God was able to keep his promise." That's what Abraham believed. Verse 5. "And then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go up yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" Notice that he tells them, "We will come back to you." Abraham and Isaac are coming back. Abraham's faith. Verse 6. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them, Isaac and Abraham, went there together." Verse 7. "But Isaac spoke to his father, saying, 'My father.' And Abraham said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Look, there is fire and wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?'" Isaac knew about sacrifices, didn't he? He knew there was fire, he knew there was wood, and he knew there would be a lamb. Father had the fire, Isaac had the wood, and Isaac said, "We're missing something. Where's the lamb?" Verse 8, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself the lamb for burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Imagine Abraham was a man of prayer. I know he was. In Genesis 20 and verse 7, it says that God told Abimelech when Abraham visited him and he took Sarah from Abraham and all that plague happened to him, God said, "You go to the prophet," talking about Abraham, "and he will pray for you." So Abraham was a man of prayer. I imagine he offered a lot of prayers during this time. And I know I'm sympathizing, but that's just what I believe, that Abraham was praying a lot. Verse 9. "Then they came to the place which God told him, Mount Moriah. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." He binds Isaac. You bind the sacrifice, apparently, the lamb. You bind the feet. Apparently, he bound Isaac's hands and he bound Isaac's feet and puts him on the altar with the wood. Isaac knows what's happening. He just asked where the lamb was. And now he's put on the altar as a sacrifice. He was a young man. My version says young lad. A lad. Other versions say a young child or young man. But let's say he's 12 or 15 years old. He was old enough to carry, big enough to carry the wood. So he's not just 5 years old. He's a young man. He's able to fight or to flee. Abraham's 100 and something years old. Surely he can beat the old man up if he thinks he's going to get killed. He's saying, "You're not doing this to me. But Abraham trusted God his father, and Isaac trusted Abraham his father. Complete obedience by the Father and by the Son. Verse 10. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Time had come. Abraham was prepared to strike. He raises his hand, and in it is a knife. He's going to sacrifice Isaac. He's ready to do it. Nothing's going to stop him now. Isaac's on the altar. He's going to kill him. And he would have, I believe. Because he believed God would keep his promise, like we've read. Even if Isaac died, God would be faithful. But verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by his works, faith was made perfect. Abraham believed God. What faith? By faith, Abraham. So he doesn't offer Isaac. He stops. Verse 13 through 19, let's read that. Here Abraham blesses, God blesses Abraham. This is verse 13. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Remember, Abraham told Isaac, God would provide. Here it is. That's faith, people. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not have withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Abraham is blessed by God. Three times in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7, Isaiah 4 and verse 18, James 2 and verse 23, Abraham is called a friend of God. Nobody else in the Bible is called a friend of God. Only Abraham. Abraham took God at His word. This is the meaning of faith. What does faith mean? It means that he trusts His promises. God promised Abraham and Abraham trusted Him. He abided, he obeyed in the word. He obeyed the will of God. God will always do what is right. So in concluding, Abraham is a great example of one who puts his faith in God. His faith is a model for us to follow today. He obeyed even when he couldn't see the outcome. God has a plan for each one of us today. Now, we may not know it, we may not see it, but it's hard to see the big picture sometimes, but we need to trust Him. It said that God made a promise to Abraham. There was the land promise, which the children of Israel received. There was the nation promise, which Jacob was given. The nation grew in Egypt, great nation, and then finally all nations would be blessed through him. That's talking about Jesus. We have that blessing today. When God made the blessing to Abraham that he would bless all nations through him, he's talking about us. God had us on his mind when he talked to Abraham and made these promises. The promise is Jesus. In Acts 3, verses 25 and 26, it says that. It says that he would turn each of us from his iniquities. If we want to share in those blessings, then we have to have the faith. We have to have faith like Abraham. God gave his son, John 3:16, on the cross. He did not stop that. He stopped Isaac. He stopped Abraham and Isaac. But he did not stop Jesus. He allowed Jesus to die on the cross. Some have said that God treated Abraham, God must have been a monster to make him go through that. God is no monster. God is great. God is love. He did not stop from letting his son die, and we should be moved by the cross of Jesus Christ. This lesson has been given to encourage you to obey the gospel, or if you are a Christian, to make correction in your life. I know it's not a long lesson. We're used to long ones, aren't we? I just get a lesson up, and I get up, and I preach it. And if it takes 15, 20, 25 minutes, well, that takes 15, 25 minutes. I don't care. But get your songbooks. We're going to sing 297.